I want experience. That's what I'm looking for. Atlanta, it's Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. There are so many candidates out here now, Mike, with this head coaching job open. Obviously, we're going to talk about the president of football operations position, which they're going to interview a couple of different guys that come in with some experience. But, you know, we keep having this conversation about what we want, what we need. Is what we want and what we need are the same things? Are they the same things when we talk about all these potential coaching candidates? Clint Kubiak, Mike LaFleur, he's the Rams offensive coordinator, by the way, at least in – right. You know, in title. Stefanski's out there, right? Now we know John Harbaugh's out there. Mike McCarthy's interviewing as we speak. Various coaches that maybe you might be interested in. But here's the deal. What do you want? Because, Mike, talking to our fan base, I think everybody's like, all right, do you want an offensive guy? Do we all assume we're going to go after an offensive guy?
Well, historically, you go the other way. If you go offense, then you go defense, right? That's generally kind of been the way. Although in the case of Raheem Morris, it was, defense after Arthur Smith. After defense, it was Quinn.
That's right.
So, and Smitty was actually defense, if you go back to his history. He was linebackers in a D.C. and a Jacksonville. Just two things. I was talking today. I said this in our little pre-show, which is behind the curtain. A guy, Mitch, big listener, and he's like, I'm in the middle of a set. He's like, I got to talk to you. I'm like, well, hold on, man. Let's finish. You know, just do pull downs.
You know, it's like, you want to spot me?
And I'm like, hey, man. He goes, what's this Stefanski stuff I'm hearing? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, everybody keeps representing us as Stefanski. I go, what's the problem? I guess he's got connections to Cleveland. He's down on us. I mean, anybody who covers a team where the coach is out, they're down on that guy.
They are.
And we'll talk about that in a second with Harbaugh. I said, look, he's well-respected around the league. I don't know if he's a victim of circumstance, right, in Cleveland. But he's apparently got a lot of juice around the league. Harbaugh, take a look at the last 8 years versus our 8 years.
Ugh.
We're looking up at that by a long shot. Okay? 6 division titles. I mean, all the things he's accomplished, the trips to the conference championship. Yeah, I mean, has there been a wobble? How much of that's on him? How much of that is players? You know, we talk about players doing your job. But Harbaugh, he'd be the best head coach we've had here since Smitty, hands down. Come on.
Yeah, and look, the down on coaches, how do y'all feel about Ra? Let me tell you something. Ra has 3 interviews in the next 8 days for head coaching opportunities. Cardinals, Giants, Titans. I'm not telling you he's getting them. What Mike and I are saying is, everybody, once a coach is fired, you're feeling some kind of way. He didn't get it done here, but it doesn't mean that he's not going to move on and maybe have another opportunity. But Harbaugh's in a different stratosphere, okay? He's done it a long time, won at a high level, and the main thing I want to say about Harbaugh is this, and this isn't coming from me. This is from folks that played for him. Mike, and we use this phrase loosely, but it is true. He is a leader of men. He is not known as a great offensive coordinator because that's not his thing. He's not known as a great defensive coordinator. That's not really his thing. Remember, Harbaugh was a special teams coach who got his opportunity and then turned it into this. What he is a guy that is a attention to detail, leader of men, culture builder. What do we need here? So when you talk about all these candidates, guys, and again, whether it's Joe Brady, who's the OC with the Bills, Mike, or any of these guys, that part we don't know. That ambiguity about Clint Kubiak, we do not know if he's a culture builder.
Right. I want 2 things. You want to have, and that, we talked about this earlier, everybody wants to have the next big, you know, Sean McVay would certainly be one of those guys. You got a bunch of first-year coordinators who are just knocking out of the park in Jacksonville and Chicago. You're hoping to catch, as we said, that lightning in a bottle, which you kind of do with Mike Smith. First year we go to the playoffs in 2008 with a rookie Matt Ryan. But that's hard to threaten. You know, again, Arthur Smith, we tried. We thought he was the guy. Didn't work. You know, Raheem got a second chance. We already covered that. That was more of a safe hire, and that was more like a default setting amongst the brain trust, in my opinion. So I get the pushback on Kubiak. He's still, you know, relatively young guy, but the pedigree's impressive. You know, where he's been. He had the Saints really running great until all the injuries kind of nailed him 2 years ago.
True.
But either way, that's one. Harbaugh is certainly a guy that – I'll give you an example. I got here in 98, so I missed Dan Reeves' first year here. Had I been on the radio in 97, I would have said, Dan Reeves, Broncos, and then did nothing with the Giants. That's the ultimate retread. What's Dan Reeves? Well, Dan Reeves had a culture. Dan Reeves was a leader. Dan Reeves ran it all. He had a general manager, but he called all the shots, Carl. And he got this thing to the Super Bowl in his second year. I mean, you saw the things going. Guys, remember back in the day, the 7-9 season, the year before. So that's my argument for a Harbaugh. Just because it flamed out at the end. Denny Green said 10 years in one place is too long. So I would definitely roll the dice with your boy John Harbaugh.
Yeah, look, and I'm with you on this as far as a timetable. It doesn't mean that guys can't be Mike Tomlin or John Harbaugh in this league. but it's rare. Doesn't mean they can't be Bill Belichick in New England, but it's rare. So when you tell me that a guy's going to come in, and Mike, we talked about this today, 5 years. If you told me you were going to come in and we win, you know, 4 out of those 5 years, and then 5 turns into an extension, and now you're here 8 years, it's a long time. So that's the norm. But what is also the norm is guys are lasting 2 years or less now. You saw with Arthur Smith here. You saw with Raheem Morris. There is no time to come in and clown around. And if that's the case, I want culture. I want leader of men. I want a guy who knows how to hire the right people. And you don't stay somewhere, Mike, 18 years unless you know how to hire the right people.
Right. And look, now, this is when we're going to reach out. We're going to try to get some folks on from Baltimore the next couple of days to see why things went the way they did. As we said, kind of an explosive article. It was an opinion piece from a columnist in the Baltimore Sun about, you know, they got to check Lamar Jackson or maybe move on from him because he felt like, you know, there was a lack of accountability. Look, it's you're placating a superstar. NBA coaches have to do it every day. But it's a little bit different in you know, Baltimore because how do you get more out of that offense when – At critical moments, your best player's turning it over. Everyone's on Mark Andrews. Lamar has turned it over a lot, too, in some playoff games. But either way, he also nearly won you that game, you know, just last week against Pittsburgh.
No doubt. 404-726-0929. We're talking about all of this with you. We, the Falcons, are going to interview Panthers executive vice president. His name's Brent Tillis. They also are going to talk to the Lions COO. His name's Mike Disner. They have experience. They're being interviewed for this president of football position. And, you know, it brings up another question. Everybody's got Matt Ryan locked in. Maybe he is.
Right.
Maybe he isn't. These interviews, sometimes, Mike, you come across guys, man, and you're like, you know what? That might be the guy. This is why you talk to people.
Well, I mean, think about this. If you were a Ravens fan, who the hell was John Harbaugh?
Right.
Right? This goes back to the Mike Smith argument. We didn't know Mike. Nobody knew who Mike Smith was when we hired him back in 08.
Defensive coordinator.
But, you know, John Harbaugh, I mean, special teams coach.
Yep.
Last time I saw a special teams coach get a head job, it was Rich Kotite. Unmitigated disaster for two teams. Eagles and Jets.
It doesn't happen.
Right. But this guy, but again, they saw, to your point, they saw the organizational skills. They saw the leadership. But this is why when we had that discussion, I get it. Why do you need two consultant firms? I guess maybe one would be enough. But maybe somebody found the diamond in the rough that was John Harbaugh for Baltimore. That's what you're looking for.
All right. Speaking of this process and the Stefanski, what's the guy that ran into you at the gym?
That's Mitch.
All right, Mitch. Let me let you hear this, Mitch, because this is Jeff Saturday. And
Mitch looks like Bernard, the Executioner Hopkins. That's why I did have to stop my set and listen to him.
All right. He didn't serve time, did he?
No, but he's a very intense individual.
Jeff
I'm sure he has a good left and a right.
He said Jeff Saturday was talking about Stefanski being a good spot. Meaning Atlanta being a good spot. He said this morning on Get Up. Listen to this.
I would say if you're looking at the Falcons, they have a good offensive line. They have good weapons in the backfield. They got Drake London. They got a good tight end. They may have to re-sign. But if you're Stefanski and you're walking in from the offensive side, that is the place that you – Not going to be a whole lot better place to just walk in and have talent sitting around your locker room.
Okay, so that is part of this. When you say, what's the fascination with Stefanski? You're hearing it. What you're hearing is, from an offensive standpoint, he's well-respected, and everybody around the league, most people feel like, hey, he would make you better.
Right.
Listen, say what you want. Ravens are apparently in the mix for Stefanski because of they need somebody, Mike, to you know galvanize, apparently, Lamar Jackson. So I don't know if that's the answer, but here's the other guys on that show. This is Foxworthy, McCourty. They're talking about the Falcons and our quarterback situation and the link to Kevin Stefanski.
The quarterback situation there scares me to death because is the young one they drafted ever going to be healthy and is the old one just at some point going to get too old?
I guess if you're Stefanski, at some point we kept linking Kirk Cousins to the Cleveland Browns while he was there because of their time in Minnesota. Right. So maybe he looks at that and say, hey, maybe not for the future, but at least for a year I have Kirk Cousins. Stefanski had success in Cleveland. I think the coach of the years, we kind of blow it up, and he wasn't really successful down the stretch.
With Flacco, too. Yeah. I mean, he's
and had the young one down there isn't that young either, so I'm not sure that it's very optimistic situation in Atlanta. I think at least if he considers if the Giants give him a chance, he has an opportunity of a young quarterback with lower expectations, I think, with more of a chance to grow. So I think you get to Atlanta, they're expecting something pretty soon, especially the way they turn that defense around.
Foxworth was here, for those who don't know, played for the Falcons. But, Mike, that's a bunch of guys talking about this Cousins thing as if they think he's going to be here. And what we found out, at least from our capologist yesterday, Joe Corey, is that that ain't happening, guys. They made this move to get out of the Kirk Cousins situation.
Right.
But if Cousins knew that Stefanski was going to be here, would that potentially allow him to change his mind and come back and say, hey, I'll take some off the top or whatever it's going to be, Mike? Because I don't know what that contract would look like renegotiated or whatever.
Right.
But I'm just saying, like, if Cousins knew I'm the guy and Stefanski's going to be here, does that change things for him?
I don't know. I mean, it's still, you know, it's a gap year. I mean, you're still going to a program. If, now again, what do these coaches think about Michael Penix Jr.? You know, does Stefanski say, I never would have drafted that guy? The injury history, I mean, I don't know. I don't see it. You know, that's another part of it. You know, you're going to have to sort of thread that needle at least for the first year. And then, remember, no first-round pick, which is a buzzkill. But then moving forward, unless there's somebody that falls into the second round, that you nail it. And that's, again, we all thought that's what Desmond Ridder was. That was the third round.
Right.
But that's let's be honest, that's few and far between, right?
It is.
So that is part of it. Jackson, I said this to you yesterday, Jackson Dart is an attractive piece. You know, you got to shore up some of the things on the offensive side. You do need to get a big running back. Those are easier to find in the draft. The defense, you know, it's got the parts there too. So the Giants might be more attractive to him because of Jackson Dart.
We only played those sound bites because it's not coming from us. This is the perception again from others around football when you talk about what's up with Kevin Stefanski. And I said yesterday, prior to John Harbaugh becoming available, I like the idea of somebody coming in here working with our young quarterback, which is why Mike loves the idea of Clint Kubiak. Or we like the idea of a LaFleur, if in fact he gets let go.
Right.
Those things are attractive, but that was all prior to Harbaugh becoming available. And then now, if you are serious, you try to make this happen. Now, for me, Mike, that's one. Everybody else is 1A. It doesn't mean I don't like Clint Kubiak less than I did 2 days ago. I still love him, and I love the idea of what he brings. But the thing I don't know about Kubiak or LaFleur, I'm talking about Mike LaFleur, or Stefanski, and we don't know if his brother's going to get let go or not in Green Bay, or any of these other, I don't know if they're culture builders. There are teams in this hiring cycle that need culture. We're one of them.
Right.
We are one of them. The Ravens don't need that, guys. You know what the Ravens need? They got a lot of talent. They're going to get healthy. They need a new voice to come in there and go, hey, let's go. We need culture.
Well, I mean, we need, I think, some accountability. With all due respect to Raheem Morris.
But that comes with it.
That last regime, there was no accountability. Special teams is job one. Okay, that was an unmitigated disaster. Problems that we all recognize were never addressed, Carl, in my mind. Like the offensive coordinator with Penix Jr. Brian Flores, you know what he told Tua Tagovailoa?
What?
Suck it up. Grow up. I mean, I like Brian Flores. I mean, I don't have him on my short list because I think the Falcons don't want that smoke. Arthur being such a, I don't want to say one of the old guard now in the NFL, but he's an OG owner. And I don't know if that lawsuit with the NFL will keep him off of some people's lists. But I do like Brian Flores.
I do too.
Because he don't sugarcoat it.
No, he's a tough dude, man. We got a lot to chop up today, guys. Glad you are here. 404-726-0929 is what you want, what we need, or vice versa when it comes to our head coaching position. We'll come back with the Daily Download next. There is a lot of college football news that we are going to get to. The show was just discussing the decision by Ty Simpson, Alabama's quarterback, to declare basically for the NFL. And I was asking Day-Day and O and Mike, I'm like, am I wrong on this? Like, I get it. He's got a lot of talent. There may be a lot of upside there. But projection-wise, guys, he may be a late first round, but certainly a second round pick. And Mike, I think he might be leaving a lot of money on the table by not going back to Alabama. He's a one and done now, basically one good year, and then he's moving on. But I was just like, 3,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and of course they made it to the college football playoff and won that you know first round game against Oklahoma, and then they lost to Indiana. I don't know, man. I'm looking at this, and we're in an age now where you can stay in college,
right, and make money, and get better at your job.
Yes,
I'm with you. Jalen Milroe should have stayed. Jalen Milroe's going to be a fullback. I mean, they're not even going to use him as a quarterback. You know what I mean? Jacob Coker had 1 year with the Cardinals.
Yes.
You remember him? Jacob Coker was a 1 year guy with Alabama. Good, solid quarterback in Saban's system. So yeah, I'd stay, son. Stay and get paid.
Yeah.
I mean, there's options there. That's why I mean Trinidad Chambliss is so fascinating. If he can get that other year. You know, and then Yes, please. Anybody out there would be all over that. Anthony Richardson should have stayed. Classic example.
Should have stayed.
He may never start another game in the NFL.
No, I know. The way this is looking, I don't think the Colts fully believe in him. There's no way. After Daniel Jones came and took his job.
When they're rolling Philip Rivers and not giving you, how's your eyeball? No, you're fine. We'll go with Philip Rivers.
He's got a patch on. It's Dukes and Bell, 404-726-0929. As we talk about the coaching carousel in the NFL, including our position as far as the Falcons and trying to, you know, bring in the right guy, man. It's a huge decision. It's going to be one of the biggest hires we've had. And I think it sets us up for the next decade. I've been saying it all week. I know a lot of people think that may be an over-exaggeration. It's not. Screw this up. We're back in this thing in a couple of years, and we've not done anything. And guess what? All this young talent we've got, wasted.
See, the thing, and we were just talking about this with a couple of guys on text earlier, and you and I were just chatting off the air, is I was joking around with Carl, because I just got some Jameis Winston memorabilia arrive yesterday. Day-Day from the glory days. It's when we beat Clemson in 13. I was at the game. It was beautiful. But anyway, regardless, would you go roll the dice if Cousins is in fact gone, and that was the cap dump that Joel Corey told it was, to bring in a guy like Jameis who's good for maybe four or five games until Penix Jr. is ready? And then would the fan base be cool with a one-year audition of Penix Jr. and either he's right or he's wrong? And would the fan base be cool with that? Because I know half our fan base feels he hasn't had a fair shake. But, I mean, does this include a new OC coming in saying, look, there's some things that you're going to have to do, Michael, which is get under center. You know, and everybody runs pistol. We get that. But you can't be in shotgun the whole game. This isn't playing in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Do you think the fan base would have the patience for that?
Well,
because that could set you back a little bit as far as wins and losses.
I think Mike, moving forward with Michael Penix, and look, he's going to get another shot with whatever coaching staff. My guess is, Mike, even if you bring in another quarterback, but I think he's got to be challenged.
Right.
He's got to be challenged in a way that maybe he's never been challenged. And I don't mean by just his skill set. I'm talking about if it is, let's just say Clint Kubiak, okay? Example. We're not saying he gets the job. Guys, he's going to be under center. That's the offense. We're running these plays. This is play action. This is going to set you up for success. You're going to be under center. He's got to be challenged in a way that, regardless of what Raheem said about being comfortable, I get that. Doesn't mean you still don't run some of those things, pistol, whatever you might like. But you also have to challenge them to understand how this is going to help you in the long term. And the example that Mike and I always use is our own Matt Ryan. When Kyle Shanahan came in here and said, hey, we're going to do some things differently. Yeah. And Matt was like, excuse me? what are you talking about? I'm in the shotgun, baby. I throw this thing around. I'm averaging 4,500 yards a year. And Kyle was like, trust me.
Naked bootlegs. We're going to do a little more play action. A lot more stuff happening here.
Trust me.
Right.
And he became an MVP.
Right.
So that's what has to happen with Michael when we talk about, we think he's talented enough, Mike, the arm talent, all that stuff. But I don't feel like, with all the flaws that we had with our former offensive coordinator and Zach Robinson, I don't know if he challenged him in that way.
Yeah, I just don't. I feel, and I'll die on this hill, Zach thought he's going to have 2 to 3 years with Kirk Cousins, and by the time Penix is ready to go, Zach's ready to go as a fully rounded offensive coordinator. Remember, he was a rookie offensive coordinator. He never called plays in the league. So that's just something to think about. The thing about Penix Jr., speaking to Matt Ryan, if and when he's confirmed to be this new team president, Matt may have said a lot of positive things about Michael Penix the last year and a half.
True.
Does Matt think Michael Penix Jr. is the guy?
Yeah.
You know, and when you're interviewing the coach and the general manager, does the Sportology consultants tell Arthur Blank you got to move on from Michael Penix Jr.? Or does Sportology tell Arthur what he wants to hear? Oh, no, we can work. You can get somebody to fix Penix Jr. See, these are the questions. I don't know. I'm not sure how people look at Michael Penix Jr. outside of 285.
Let me ask this, too. It's Dukes and Bell. Because I'm so hooked on Harbaugh. Like, I will be disappointed when it all comes down and he's somewhere else, because I'm going to be like, we had a chance. It's rare when the job is open and you've got a chance to go get a dude like this.
But Giants are all over it. New York media is making it sound like it's going to drop.
Because they understand what they need. But let me ask you this. With the new front office, don't you want an experienced coach? That's a lot of inexperience that'll be going on, Mike. When you talk about hiring one of these young guys, bringing in a potential president of, and even if it's Matt, but if it's not, somebody else from another organization, and then you're talking about, you know, a GM who I guess is going to probably have experience, I'm guessing, but it may not be. A lot of times GMs like Terry Fontenot get elevated from player personnel jobs, Mike, and they haven't run a team like this. Wouldn't an experienced coach help you in that area?
Well, in case you're wondering, DaCosta, you mentioned Eric DaCosta, the former Ravens. I mean, the Ravens, the former head coaches, Harbaugh, they had a great relationship. They were tight. DaCosta said he's the only coach I want to work with until he didn't. So how important is if you bring a coach? See, that's why I want to see clarity. Either hire the general manager and it's your way or the highway and let that roll. Because we've seen enough of this push and pull with this team.
Yeah.
You know, we went to it with Arthur Smith and with Terry Fontenot. So whose vision? That's why, I mean, Arthur had this whole six-paragraph email to the fans, and okay, so how do we streamline it? By adding more layers?
He's going to add more to that tomorrow.
One friggin' guy.
He's going to add more to that.
By the way, if there's a stenographer, he's going to have carpal tunnel. Arthur's going to talk for an hour. Anyway, as far as the Falcons, yeah, that's these are the questions. Are the Falcons bringing a coach in with the agenda of Penix, we believe in him, and you will fix him? Or it's wide open, and you give us your no-nonsense evaluation. What do you think of Penix Jr.? I have a hard time thinking that's going to be what they say.
Didn't Michael tell us, Penix, Mike, didn't he tell us that he had spent time with Matt Ryan?
Yes. Yeah. And Matt's going to take one for the team and say the right things. Or Matt truly,
what do you
or
say
truly
scenes?
Believes
in Matt's like this kid can't play. Man.
Matt's on CBS. What's he going to say? You know, I talked to Michael Penix Jr. Man, he's trash. He just doesn't have it. Can't play under center. Really has bad field vision. Terrible decision making.
What is he going to say?
But hopefully it's legit and he does believe in him. And we got to fix it. But I mean, that was the why did Raheem get fired? He hired the wrong assistants.
He did. That's it. That's the bottom line. 404-726-0929. Tomorrow, by the way, we are at the Atlanta Boat Show, guys, down at the Georgia World Congress Center. But we will also have plenty of things coming out of Arthur Blank's press conference tomorrow, as Mike and I will be there and talking to all the folks and you know, bringing you the latest. Look, this moves this story forward. Right now, we know where we're at. We know what we're looking for. We know what jobs are open. Mm-hmm. What is Arthur going to say tomorrow, specifically, Mike, that helps us understand what he, along with, you know, Greg Beatles now, the new president, okay, Rich is out.
Right.
What are they looking for when it comes to these positions, and how does that look under Greg Beatles? I think, guys, by the way, that's something that we shouldn't discount. I think we've gotten used to Rich McKay and these decisions, Mike, over the years, and we kind of know which way they were going to go. I don't know at this point because Greg's going to have a lot of say and has a voice in that room now, much bigger than he has. I think that's something to think about. Many of you may not know who the hell Greg Beatles is, but right. I'm telling you, our new president is not going to sit back and go, hey, this is – I'll let you guys figure it out. He is going to be on the line now
is
and responsible.
He? You think? I don't know.
Yes.
I mean, we're going to find out. I mean, that's why with this team – got a chance to get it right. Arthur did write that big open letter that talked about, you know, they reviewed their process. And again, the Sportology folks were reviewing everything, how decisions are made. And it sounds like, I don't know, what did the file, the dossier that they hand him say? Too many chefs? The process is just too convoluted? So how do we fix it? How do we streamline it moving forward?
Well, you just mentioned, like, you're saying that you don't think Beatles will have a say. Like, what are you going to do, fire Rich McKay when you're telling us he's not with the organization?
Right.
You're going to fire the people that you've put in power and have titles now that are responsible for your football operations. That's allegedly, according to Arthur Blank, that's Greg.
All right.
Like, and all the people who fall under him. That's all I'm saying. Like, I don't think you can just dismiss having new voices in the room. I hope, Mike, that's the case.
Guys hit me up with the text. It sounds like you don't trust. No, I don't. I got to see this. I got to be.
Yes.
Got to prove it to
it's
me.
True.
You got 8 years of dysfunction with this franchise.
Which is why they're changing the structure.
We said it. We all love Arthur Blank. Two things can be true. The greatest humanitarian in town, altruistic, but doesn't know how to run a football team. So you just spend all this money on the consultants to tell you how to streamline your process. Are you going to see it through? Are you not going to meddle? You know, he tells us, I'm not a meddler, so we'll see. Look, there's a great opportunity here. This team has got a lot of talent. I mean, it's a huge crossroads. The one thing that makes this job less attractive than others is just the quarterback situation, but that's a short term. But here's the thing. If you don't get it right, and you've seen it, Dolphins went through it between Marino and even Tua's not. They're not even sold on him going into this next season.
No.
You can go decades without having your quarterback right.
404-726-0929. Follow us, by the way. He's Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. It's Dukes and Bell, 929, and follow the radio station at 929, the game. Hawks do play the Pelicans tonight. The only reason you should be interested in this game is we want to beat the hell out of them. Hope they continue to lose, Mike, so we can secure this first overall pick in the draft.
Trey is apparently not going to dress, and Carl and I were just
talking. Whoa, what? I thought he was questionable.
I'm waiting for Oren to hit state your source.
Wait a minute. What do you mean he's not going to
just state your source?
I just saw him putting up shots up in Toronto.
He's not playing.
Huh?
He's not playing.
He's not
state
ready?
Your source.
Trey is now going to let you see what the Hawks are without him.
And state your source.
That game against the Raptors, they were horrible. So, look, you know, we've talked about Trey. And again, I must use this phrase 7,000 times a week now. Two things going to be true. Trey is a guy that never got the support he needed, and now he's going to be gone. Because
we played too slow.
Because they now feel he doesn't fit. But you better get it right. Now, is the rest of that locker room just kind of rolling their eyes with Trey and just waiting for him to be gone? Well, is Quinn Snyder going to be able to push the right buttons? Are we just going to get simply expiring contracts and draft picks for Trey? Because nobody's going to – he wants to go to Minnesota and Brooklyn. They said thanks, no thanks.
Brooklyn!
So Trey ain't never going to wear another Hawks uniform on that floor, man. You agree with that?
I feel like up until the trade deadline – here's the other thing. Why am I going to endanger the rest of my season playing for y'all when I know I'm not going to be playing for y'all? I mean, I'm just telling you what it is. Like, we don't like it. But if I'm up out of here February 5th, Mike, if I told you right now, by the way, you won't be on the radio February 5th. You're not expanding. You're not giving your energy to this like you normally would.
No.
And Trey's not going to either.
Oh,
and that doesn't make him a bad guy, by the way. That's just the nature of that
business. Right now, I was going to say. No, the Trey guys, a couple of things. He grew up. He's matured. Unfortunately, this year, Murphy's Law, we never got to see this sample size, which I thought would go up to the trade deadline. See what Trey looks like with a great team. Porzingis is never going to play. I don't know. When was he going to be on the floor? Speaking of a guy you got to get off this roster.
He played, didn't he? Didn't he play in the Toronto game the other night when they got blasted?
Yeah.
So he's back.
So is that one game in the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
But anyway, and we'll get into this. We got all week to talk about it. But it just feels like this thing has come to a head. And Ansi Sele is just going to, one way or the other, is going to move on from this. And then the great debate will now rage. What will the Hawks be without Trey? What will Trey do somewhere else?
Yeah.
And some guys will have to be Wizards fans, it sounds like.
And I know some of you are like, man, I don't get it. If I was him, I'd play and show out. He has shown out. He's had moments. His numbers speak for themselves. Have we won enough? No. But if you're asking me, like, I need to see 7 more games of Trey Young before they trade him, but that makes no sense.
No, it's
what
not,
have you won?
It's not it's not Trey's fault. Not Trey's fault they brought in DeJounte. Bringing DeJounte Murray is right up there with drafting Penix and signing Cousins. Those are the stupidest things that happened in this town.
Yeah. Well, at least we recouped a first-round pick back for
that
him,
is
though.
True.
All right, man, coming up, we got a lot more to dive into, including – does hiring Harbaugh instantly change everything? I mean, seriously. You remember when all you guys wanted Belichick? Okay, wait a minute. We're going to come back and talk about this. Because I know many of you are like, oh, this is different. It is different. It's Dukes and Bell.
What have you won? Tell me, what have you won?
You remember when y'all wanted Belichick? I'm not coming off of this. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I didn't want no Belichick here.
But everybody was on the whole, oh, look what he brings, and da-da-da-da-da. And Mike and I tried to tell you guys.
I'm not talking about this.
Thank you. What's his girlfriend's name, Jordan?
Jordan, yes.
She don't want to talk about anything.
She's with Code Black, the cheerleading squad.
She don't want to talk about anything.
Go Code Black.
Go Black! But everybody's like, look, and Mike and I said, look at the last 4 years of his drafts, okay? The team itself, when you start talking about the personnel and how it's fallen off, and then Vrabel came in there and again restructured everybody, like all these new players. And I know New England looks like a new team because they are.
Right.
And my point about this is it is rare where our job is open and there is a guy that is in demand. And that was kind of the situation with the Belichick thing. But then you realize, okay, and I say this to Falcon fans all the time. You know, everybody says, well, this thing didn't work with Raheem. There was no guarantee it was going to work with Belichick. I don't like what's going on at Carolina. Most North Carolina fans don't like what's going on there.
Yeah, and that's run its course. It's 2 years. He'll be 2 years and done.
It's ridiculous.
Accomplished nothing.
But this is – our job is open, talking about the Falcons, and you have a coach in high demand who's respected and – I think is in a different place than where Belichick was, Mike, at the end of his tenure with the Patriots. So I know there's some people might want to make this comparison. To me, there is none. This is a completely different situation. 404-726-0929. And real quick, I want to add this too, because we were just talking about it here on the show. We in trouble, y'all. No, I'm being serious. We got to get this crap right.
Lay it on me.
So the Falcons just
talk
put
to
out.
Me, Goose.
The Falcons just put out the 2026 opponents.
Who we got?
I just want to talk about the home opponents.
Lay it on me. So if nothing else, I can resell for tremendous value.
Oh, no, no doubt about
Hello,
that.
No Ticketmaster.
Okay, so for me, I don't necessarily look at the teams. I know we have folks here that are transplants from all over the country. Bears fans everywhere. San Francisco, Kansas City. I always look at the quarterbacks. Because that tells me what kind of day we're going to be in for.
As in the team has one.
Correct. So right. Our home opponents, and I just retweeted this to put them up, C-Dukes. Bears, playoff team. Caleb looks like the real deal now. And you're talking about Ben Johnson and Caleb. I don't care what they do this year. Just I'm projecting here to next season. Then we get the Lions, Mike. Laugh if you want to. Still a very good football team that was banged up. Jared Goff coming in here, he's still playing at a very high level.
Now, some would say, I mean, big picture, though, I feel like they did miss
this
first window, and Ben Johnson is sorely missed, and Dan Campbell could not do the dual roles and had to fire his OC. But, yeah, right, still a team that's a ton of talent. Still got one of the best pass rushers.
And they run the ball like crazy.
Best wide receivers, best everything.
So, Goff, not in this order, because we don't know the order, because the schedule's not out. I'm just telling you home opponents. Now, we in trouble, y'all. We got to get this right. Caleb, Goff. Bengals with Joe Burrow. I know everybody's ready to run Burrow out of Cincinnati because at the end of the season he was frustrated. We also get Purdy, Mike, and the San Francisco 49ers at home with Kyle Shanahan.
Yes. Now, you don't like Purdy, so we'll see what Purdy does against us. I know that we know that these teams and Mac Jones. Well, here's the thing. Can we pull off a coup and get a guy like Mac Jones over here?
I'd like that.
Yeah, by the way, are they going to keep Mac Jones on the roster? Or is he going to get traded? You know, I know we just because we want him.
Well,
the 49ers.
If you believe in Purdy so much, trade him.
Ah, why are you talking like that? Why are you talking like that?
If you believe in him so much, I just trade him away. But no, listen, Shanahan's smart.
That voice is, man.
Shanahan's smart. He's not going to trade him away.
All right.
But wait, there's more. We get Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, who will be on a mission coming off of this injury. Now, whether that game is early in the season or not, we don't know, but this is our home opponents. Oh, but it gets better. We get the Ravens and Lamar at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Mm. Y'all follow me on this? And oh, by the way, we still have our division opponents, and we had problems with Baker. We had a problem with the guy in Carolina.
Right.
Mike, Caleb, Goff, Burrow, Purdy, Mahomes, Lamar. We got to get this coaching thing right.
I mean, the new coach is, his defense, he's got some weapons. You got Jalen Walker, you got Pierce Jr. You know, Floyd will probably be off the contract, off the cap. But you got weapons, man, I think, we got to keep Divine Diablo, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that dude is, we're
healthy, bro.
And Zane Gonzalez, by the way, just got named the special team player of the week.
Hey! Did we find our field goal kicker?
Yes.
We found him?
Going to sign his butt. Yeah,
okay.
Man.
All right.
It's weird how it took forever. That's on Fontenot. Another reason why Fontenot is not here. Never got that right. But yeah, that's a beast of a schedule.
Home opponents?
Yeah, that's rough.
Come on, man.
Yeah. And again, all the fans that bring, there's a lot of heritage teams that bring a lot of fans.
Oh! But then we got to go on the road to Pittsburgh. We got to go on the road to Green Bay. We got to go back to Minnesota.
We're
going to
be in Munich. We're going to be playing somebody as a home team. One of those teams are going to be playing in Germany.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like that home schedule. And
that's
by the
report. We're 99%. We're going to be there.
But as a fan going to games, great. This is a great home slate. Oh. But what are we going to look like? Who's going? What? This is why this coach thing and getting this front office. Right, Mike. It's such a big deal.
Well, I mean, look, I may have to amend my list because New York Post sounds like the Giants are locked on John Harbaugh.
You just want to ruin it, don't you? You want to ruin my game.
I'm just telling you, man.
What are they offering?
More, well, again, a Jackson Dart is a very hot prospect, you know? I mean, like that team was Brian Daboll. I had high hopes for Brian Daboll. I thought he was a guy that kind of helped make Josh Allen, the best quarterback he could be. And then just, you watch, remember the Hard Knocks, that offseason Hard Knocks of the Giants? A lot of dysfunction.
Oh, were they? We're talking about Saquon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just made it look like a Mickey Mouse operation. So, but they do have some pieces. You know, they do have some weapons. They got a pretty good defensive line. They lost Neighbors because of injury. But draft your running back and go to work if you're John Harbaugh up in New York. We are trying to make the argument for what we've got.
Yep.
You know, but when you interview with the Falcons, are the Falcons telling you you're gonna fix Michael Penix Jr.? or you have a choice of your quarterback. That's why I'm saying. Here's Jackson Dart. Looks pretty good. Just got to tell him to slide more, run out of bounds, don't get concussed. And then you got Michael Penix Jr., where we really need you to get under center, son.
They got a quarterback that has a concussion problem, Mike. I don't know if it's that attractive.
Get down!
I don't know if it's that attractive.
That's the deal with that dude. And then meanwhile, your Kubiak, and Oren was just telling us during the break, a new article from The Athletic says, Todd Monken, if you thought Todd Monken didn't get along with Stetson Bennett, Todd Monken apparently had to have a go-between named John Harbaugh to talk to his quarterback. So Lamar Jackson apparently was not communicating with his own OC.
It follows in the footsteps of various reports out of Baltimore that's why they wanted Harbaugh to let Monken go. Mike, you can be a great coach. You can't be a blankety blank. Right?
At some point, the results have got to, you win a Super Bowl, you can go be a blank hole. You're not.
So that's the thing. And I said, look, under Monken's guidance, Lamar won two MVPs, should have won a third. But either way, like, that's part of this. And so when you're asking a head coach, hey, by the way, around the building, yeah, you might want to look at another OC. And the coach is like, no, I like what he's doing. Mm. Even though he may be the in-between guy, if in fact those rumors are true, that makes total sense as to why he stood on that ground and said, no, I'm not going to do that. And the team was like, okay, we might need to look at some other options.
And you and I were talking about this. A lot of Georgia fans, it's funny. Have you seen the meme where they've taken, with the Venezuelan president's being off the helicopter with – it's a meme, and they've pasted the head. Have you seen this? And Mike Bobo on it. Funny. So as soon as basically Monken's available, they want Bobo helicoptered out of Athens by the Delta Force. Too sweet. So here's the thing with Monken. He did a hell of a job. Monken was fantastic with Georgia, but I got to be honest with you. Watching the Ravens, because you see him in the playoffs, he forgets about Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry had the fumbling issue this year. But I'm talking about before that. I'm not sold on Joe Brady. I think Joe Brady does some really dumb things with his offense, doesn't maximize what he's got.
We're about to find out.
Because let's be honest, James Cook could be used the same way Bijan is. They don't use him in the passing game like they should. So I'm not sold. And did you say, Day-Day, that Monken was talking to Cleveland? He's already scheduled to interview with Cleveland? Anyway. I'm off on Monken. That's an issue right there. You got to make it work. Supplant the ego and make it work with Lamar Jackson. Figure it out.
Yeah. All right.
Unless Lamar is pulling the Mike Vick stuff, and he's not putting the work in. That's what the Baltimore Sun article was sort of inferring.
Yeah. Look, I just
Mike Vick pre Eagles.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, because he was a different dude. Here's what I don't believe. I'm refusing to believe that, and this is the other stuff that came out in that article, that there were guys sleeping in the meetings. Harbaugh's not standing for that BS, man.
Or was he?
He's not standing for that.
I don't know.
Like, it's one thing to say, hey, we didn't play well, or you know what, we didn't execute. Mike, you don't last 18 years, you got cats sleeping in meetings. I don't give a damn what your name is. Mm-hmm. So I refuse to believe. But if you're going to tell me there was a little bit of dysfunction between the OC and maybe the quarterback and how the head coach was handling that, and that's what maybe led to this, fine. But it doesn't mean anything for me as to what he would do here.
Right.
And that's why I would love to have Harbaugh here. 404-726-0929. And yes, if you're going to say, Dukes, you fixated on this, you're damn right I am.
Well, you're bringing a winner in here. But again, I think you could look at any number of coaches, and it runs its course. I said to you earlier, Denny Green famously saying, 10 years seems like it's a long enough spot for one coach to be in. Tom Landry got fired, and he was too old to ever get another gig. That was it. That was the end of the run. We talked about Shula at the end. I don't know. Jerry handled that.
He did put a statue out in front of the other stadium, though. It's there in Jerry World.
But, there's not many – rarely do coaches go out on their own terms. So Harbaugh is out, but as I said, I'll use – if you want to be the anti-Harbaugh guy out there listening, as I said earlier, Dan Reeves. Who'd have thought Dan Reeves would have done what he did with the Falcons?
Yeah.
And Dan Reeves – you thought Dan Reeves was old school? We're going to go get Mike Vick. He was the one who organized that. Talked to Taylor Smith. The Smith family had to sign off with Arthur. Arthur was taking over ownership to make that happen.
Let's do it.
And he did. Dan Reeves exceeded all expectations. He just got decimated with two seasons of killer injuries. But that's proof that an old dog can learn new tricks, sure. I would say to some. And Dan Reeves was only 55 when he got here.
Yeah.
He was younger than people think. Anyway, Harbaugh is 63.
Yes, he is. I'm not worried about the age. I want to win now. And if he's still vested the way he's been in his life and the workaholic that he is and the attention to detail guy and the culture builder, bring him here. All right, with that said, real quick, Mike, and here's the other part about this when we talk about the reason why I would like this over some of the other candidates. And if any of these other guys, if Harbaugh ends up in New York, fine. I mean, not really, but okay.
Right.
But any of these other candidates that we're potentially talking about that, again, Falcons are going to interview and go through the process. But the thing for me is, as you look at this, Arthur Blank has never hired an established Super Bowl winning coach. Not one. He's always rolled the dice and hoped for the best. It worked with Smitty, who is the winningest coach in franchise history. But if you go look at Dan Quinn, it was, I'm going to roll the dice. Yeah, he got us to a Super Bowl. I get you. Raheem, I'm rolling the dice, right? Arthur Smith, here's an opportunity to go, I am going to get you what I thought you wanted with Belichick, which is a Super Bowl winning established head coach in this league who knows what he's doing.
Right.
He's never hired that guy, Mike. And that is another reason why I say this makes total sense to me. You can continue to take the chance on a Kubiak or a Brady or any of these other guys that you're talking about. But again, you're doing the same thing that you've done.
All right, let me throw another name at you. What about Mike McCarthy?
Experience in Super Bowl
62. Winner. You could, the same thing some fans are saying right now to us on the text and on Twitter about John Harbaugh, you could say about McCarthy. McCarthy was basically just banging his head against Aaron Rodgers the last couple of seasons, where Aaron Rodgers was squashing it like LeBron. And
squash that play.
Was that Dave Blatt? Was that Cavs coach?
Right.
But anyway, it sounded like McCarthy ran its course. I don't know how much do you give McCarthy a pass because Jerry Jones's Cowboys are so dysfunctional, but he had a hell of a lot of talent. He had Micah Parsons. He changed. He made Dak better. But he, to me, that playoff loss to the Packers was inexcusable. That was a bad loss on his resume. But anyway, McCarthy's out there. He's just, you know, he's going on with, you know, Pat McAfee. He's just kind of chilling right now.
How much gravitas does he have compared to a Harbaugh?
6-1.
Okay.
6-1, half a dozen the other.
Because the only reason I say that is, you're right.
He's an offensive mind. The Harbaugh is a CEO.
Correct. And that is what I think we need more, because you can hire a great offensive mind.
Right.
Harbaugh's proven that. He's done that numerous times, whether it was the Super Bowl years or all these playoff games he's been in. You can get those guys. All right.
Giants are also supposed to talk to Mike McCarthy. According to
Mike, I think he's going to get a job this time around.
Right.
He set out last year, right? Is that what happened? All right. All right, guys. Stukes and Bell.
Ravens requested that interview with Kubiak.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
I got to amend my short list. My short list is now getting very short.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
I had two names on it. It sounds like other two teams are going to take them.
All right, we're coming back. 4th and 1 is on the way. The schedule and the home schedule, I'm just telling you, our home opponents, that we know what they are. Man, we got to be ready. Like, I'm already thinking about next season. Like, we got to be ready. And this playoffs hasn't even started yet. It's wild card weekend. All right, we got a lot more to chop up. It's Dukes and Bell.